databases, the buttons and the menus, and get them to send information to other parts of the window. So as it says here, you do not use JavaScript to do computation. At least it would be better. You can add stuff together, but it's very inefficient. Whereas Java can probably be essentially the same performance as Fortran eventually. JavaScript never can. It's not designed to. It's designed to do high-level things, like I illustrated there. So Perl is actually an incredibly useful language, and anybody who is does computing professionally, I would recommend that they use Perl and learn Perl, because Perl is still by far, in my opinion, by far the best language for day-to-day manipulation of programs and running them, especially on Unix systems. Although Perl runs on PCs, it essentially does anything you could ever want to do for Unix systems. It doesn't do everything you want to do for PC systems. My guess is that 5 years from now, that statement would not be true. That people will have forgotten Perl, and there will be extensions to Java which will replace Perl. And the standard remark I use to back that up is that if you go to your favorite bookstore, you will find 20 books on Java. Now, you will find some books on Perl, however, you will not find any books on there's one book, I believe, on the latest version of Perl called Perl 5, which is the so-called object-oriented version of Perl. Yet, Perl 5 came out before Java. It came out in December of 94. So, basically, Perl was just about to become object-oriented and a candidate for a great system-building language, and then Java came along and cut it off. So it's still used for what it's good at historically, and there's some useful features in Perl 5, but I believe as a major system-building language, it will not succeed. And although, for instance, you can link databases with Perl, there is little doubt that the Java connection to databases is going to be far, far more important. Database. So, databases, in my opinion, the role of databases is extremely interesting. If any of you use the Unix mail system, you will know that the Unix mail system has things called folders. So what are things called folders where you stick your mail? The folders are essentially Unix directories in the Unix file system. That's how the Unix mail system works. So what is the Unix mail system doing? Unix mail is using the Unix file system as a database, because it says, I will label this bunch of folders as class notes by putting it into the directory called class notes. So historically, Unix systems have actually avoided using databases. They've used file systems or by-hand programs to avoid databases. And the reason they did that is that databases were extremely expensive and had very clumsy interfaces. I believe that all that's changed. So databases, in my opinion, are going to get used far more than they used to, because they're now they're much cheaper, especially if you buy like Oracle for a PC. I think it's less than $1,000, but it used to be Oracle license was tens of thousands of dollars. And so that's a combination of two reasons. Microsoft has a very good database called Access, and the other reason is that the web, essentially databases have now got integrated into the so-called, what I call the Web Windows Framework. So whereas it required obscure database administration capability to use a database, now all you need to do is to be able to use the web and some extremely simple, comparatively simple, well-defined interfaces to be able to use a database in a rather straightforward fashion. So 3 years ago, try the add-on and see what it gives. So 3 years ago, MPAC used no databases. We didn't use databases essentially for, except for a very abstruse parallel database project, we used it for nothing. Now we use databases in actually a dozen projects, and the reason is very simple. It was that you can now use them through the web. You can build user interfaces very simply. And if you go to the MPAC pages, you will find you can search the... let's stop here on TearWeb. You can search the entire MPAC database. That search for the entire MPAC database is done by getting a robot to fetch all the files, stick the information about the files in the in our Oracle database, and then use database search capabilities to find out about that information. So here's an interesting prototype built by Wojtek Szymanski called CareWeb. This is interesting because it actually uses JavaScript and databases. So this is an example of what I believe will be the dominant way of doing healthcare in the future. So this is a patient record database built using a web interface and on the back-end Oracle server as the database. This is quite interesting because all the information used to generate these pages is stored in a database. It's not stored on Unix disk files. There are effectively no Unix disk files associated with this application. The so-called HTML, which is displayed, is generated by a computer program running on the database, which generates the HTML, sends it over the network, and displays it on your client. So when you have a database back, if you think about the web, again, I criticize Unix file systems. The way most of MPAC's web pages are labeled is by their position in the MPAC document tree or whatever it's called, and it's horrible to try to keep track of it all because we have 100,000 web pages. And Unix file systems were not designed to be a database that tracks 100,000 web pages. And so for that reason, there are all sorts of unsatisfied links and mistakes and things in those pages because people forget where they are and they forget what links to what. Whereas if you stored everything in a database, you can put into that database technology to make certain that things work better. Because databases are designed to keep track of information and to make it robust and reliable. That's sort of what all they are. All right, let's go on to the... Is there anything else? Here's Carrier. So if you go to the Carrier website, Barbara Mihalis, who actually set up her own company to exploit this technology, she took this same technology originally developed by Gang Cheng for web database linkage, and she took Carrier's product catalog. Carrier is the world's largest air conditioning company. It's a local company. And so they put their product line on the web, and that's all done using actually an Oracle database running hopefully with a reliable pass strip in our machine room, and it's using the same Oracle web linkage that we will learn about in this class. And again, those products are not stored as web pages. And actually, that's very convenient for Carrier, because Carrier, when they change their air conditioning line and have a new model, they do not have to go through every web page and say, should I mention this model on this web page? They just change that model information in the database, and then it's automatically displayed on the web pages. So if you, for instance, a lot of people last time we taught this class, they did projects involving databases. I remember one group did an auto insurance system, essentially an insurance company database. But effectively, I mean, there's essentially an endless set of applications because almost all interesting applications involve some data, and if it's going to be interesting, it better be a lot of data, and it's got to be accessed in various interesting ways. So to put a database at the back end of most projects is typically a good idea. All right, let's go back to the foils. So the next technology we'll learn about is VRML. So VRML is less important today than the other technologies we discussed. Everything we discussed up to now, Java, JavaScript, and databases, that's being used today in deployed deployed systems by real people doing real applications. If you read about things called intranets, so those are essentially corporate information systems, those will be built using Java, JavaScript, and web link databases. But they will almost certainly not use VRML. However, that's not because it isn't important. VRML is extremely important. Because what is VRML? So if we think about HTML, HTML describes a document. It allows me to take these letters and explain how to put it on the page. Why don't you go to this menu and choose the other tape option? Yes. Yes. Go to OK HTML. All right. So you can't see it here. It's the wrong font. That's why I'm not using this. But HTML will take those letters on that page, which is just a screen dump, and arrange them, tell you how to arrange it with bullets and sub-bullets and things like that. So HTML describes a page. Well, now, if you think about the world is not built of pages. I mean, people in the, I mean, it's built of, in fact, in particular, most pages are two-dimensional, and the world is three-dimensional. So VRML is the language to describe three-dimensional objects. And so it ought to be important. Take the other option. It ought to be important because almost anything interesting in the world is three-dimensional. So VRML is, in principle, it's actually much simpler than some of these other technologies. It's just a general language for describing the components of a three-dimensional object, and it is designed according to the general principles of computer graphics, so you can compose these objects to make scenes. And the reason why it is not being used in these commercial systems is a very simple reason. It is that processing a three-dimensional object takes substantially more computer power than processing a two-dimensional document page. So whereas almost any reasonable PC can view a document page, possibly stored possibly downloaded from a database, can almost certainly run simple JavaScript and can run at least the simpler Java applets, because those are typically doing two-dimensional displays. They cannot do three-dimensional rendering to produce good quality three-dimensional images. So VRML is sitting there in the background waiting in some sense for high-quality software, because it's extremely sensitive, whereas Java and JavaScript and HTML are not sensitive to having the very best versions, because they still run well even if you're off a factor of four in performance. VRML is not. VRML requires the very best software, absolute wonderful performance, etc., whereas today's browsers are about 10 times slower than they ought to be. At a most... Actually, Java is about a factor of 50 slower than it ought to be. However, this is critical because this means that actually it doesn't work very well. Try risking that add-on to see what it says. All right. So we will discuss VRML because at some stage over the next probably 3 years, it will become very important. And there are several very interesting applications. For instance, one project that was done for this class last year was to use VRML to display the periodic table, so that you had electrons running around atoms, and you built the atoms out of protons and neutrons, because they, and of course atoms are three-dimensional. So that's an example. So here's another example from MPAC, which maybe you can show. Maybe go down as a better picture. But So here, if you can see here. These are actually a so-called geographical information system. So these are maps actually of New York State showing hills. This is probably the Hudson River. And this is actually a typical of a very important application in the real world, because VRML was originally designed to do video games. It was to use the web to do computer game applications. And if you know about video games, some of the favorite video games are games where objects run around, cars run around tracks, and aircraft run around in three-dimensional worlds and shoot each other down and stuff like that. So this technology, which here we're doing for just traveling around New York State to see what's going on, has a lot of important commercial applications. And VRML will, in my opinion, one day suddenly emerge as a critical, viable technology. All right, so if we come back, let's go back to the window at the back. There are two versions of VRML, VRML 1.0 and 2.0. VRML 1.0 is exactly what I said. It allows you to define a three-dimensional object and look at it from different ways. So you can define New York State as a three-dimensional surface, and you can move around it and look at it from different positions in the sky. VRML 2.0 is what you need to build your computer game, because it allows you to have three-dimensional objects, and it allows them to do things, so that when you can have one three-dimensional object called an aircraft, launch another object called a missile, which hits a third object called a tank, and then the tank does something. So the way this is typically, that's what VRML 2.0 is, essentially an interactive three-dimensional world where the objects in VRML 2.0 essentially have attached to them pieces of software, so that when things happen to them, when the door is knocked, somebody opens it, or when the handle is turned, it can be opened. And effectively, actually, although there's some talk about a separate script, you can think of Java as being the software that's attached to each object. So VRML 2.0 is roughly three-dimensional objects with a set of actions attached to them, telling you what these objects do when things happen to them. And then once you release these interesting software-enhanced objects, they'll do various things. All right, that's that. All right. So this is what we will not do in this class. So this is multimedia technologies, which is digital audio and video. So one of the classic technologies is called real audio. Some of this lecture will hopefully be available in real audio, not all. As you notice, we ran out of disk space recording the real audio that I was doing. However, it got restarted. I just say a couple of important points as to what's wrong with the current web in the area of audio and video. Well, actually, it's not too bad for audio, but for video, there's something very seriously wrong with it. If you go to a website and click on some sort of MPEG video, what it will typically do is it will take a bunch of digital video frames, download a big file to your computer, and then play it. So that almost all video on the web will do that. However, that's obviously an unacceptable thing to do in general, because if you clicked on a movie, you wouldn't be in general willing to wait for the many, many hours it will take to download it. So the critical technology for multimedia information is called streaming technology, and that's what Marek Pogorny describes in his other class. It is the ability to have a server somewhere, a client here, the server sends digital audio or video information down a network, and it appears on the client, and it appears with good enough quality that people's ears and eyes consider it acceptable. And that's highly challenging, because typically with documents, your eye is very tolerant. If there's a delay, there's a delay. But if there's audio or video, if in the middle of a scene, in the middle of an image, the audio cuts out or the video stops, then you're very intolerant of that. If you go to have broadcast or cable TV, you're not allowed to have cutouts in the middle of your scene. So that's why so-called quality of service is extremely important. You must have guaranteed bandwidth to enable digital audio and video. And it has to be that digital video is very important, because if you look at the consumer market today, the dominant way information is transferred is not documents. It is video, it's TV, not radio. Right, so images and video are known to be the most liked of the dissemination technologies. So for the web to be a viable information system of great consumer importance, it must support streaming digital video and streaming digital audio. And roughly in a nutshell, if you have a dedicated link, we can do streaming digital video for you. On the internet, you can do streaming digital audio, and we can do that over a phone line link. But there's a lot of work still needs to be done to make this real. Right, so these are basically some topics which we'll probably get to at the end of this class. I will try to discuss security for a couple of reasons. One is, most of this class is relatively wishy-washy software and concepts and interfaces, so it doesn't have any great deep sort of intellectual content, possibly. So one nice thing about security is the heart of security is some nifty mathematical algorithms for encoding things. So at least it has some, actually there's two things which have nifty mathematics in this area. One is compression, which is what enables you to do digital video or audio, and the other is security. But security is critical, again, for a lot of commercial applications, which are going to be the dominant web applications. But unless you can guarantee that information will get from A to B, and when it gets to B, it's correct, it has not been changed, and when it's got to B, it has not been intercepted by people who shouldn't see it, you've got to have that capability. Today's web, when you get information, you have no guarantee the information you get is correct, because there can be any number of network errors, and there's absolutely no reason to believe that people aren't spying on what you did. So it's very, very insecure. Now, for a lot of applications, especially academic applications, security is not important. But for a lot of real-world applications, like your bank account, or if there's a lot of shopping on the web, you must have security. And of course, the Department of Defense, which wishes to use web technologies for their information systems, require security. I've already mentioned the reason we want to look at the PC world, because the PC world has, in many cases, much better software than Unix. Some examples of the Java development environment, such as those from Microsoft and Symantec. The systems are just faster on PCs. If you look at if you look at Java applets running on Unix versus Java applets running on PCs, at least for some applets, the ones that are compute intensive, they'll be 10 times faster on PCs than on Unix, and that's because PCs have this so-called just-in-time compilation technology, which is just much faster technology for interpreting Java applets, and Unix will get it, but because PCs are the dominant market, all developers like Netscape and Microsoft deliver their most important technology first to PCs and then some time interval later on to Unix. The other area where PCs are particularly good because of their use is in multimedia. The last two topics, which you can just read, are some more details on Marek Vagorny's course. So, I guess, what will I do? So I need to process this survey to get some more, yes? Did we run out of surveys yet again? Did you make any more copies of the survey? Sorry. All right, people. Well, we can probably do it now. So if you can stay for a few minutes, we can just make copies. Why don't you just go upstairs and make copies of the survey? Well, I do. All right. I'll go upstairs and make copies of the survey. Or Roman will. Maybe you should just go up and make copies of the survey. Well, somebody can volunteer a survey. Do we have a survey? Has anybody not filled in their survey so we can copy it? All right, so good. A brave volunteer. You have a key to get in somewhere. So in a few minutes, we'll get copies of the survey. I will put, as there are enough students, there are a lot of students, it's difficult to contact you all. If you are desperate to find out what we decide, the next lecture is when, I believe there is no lecture Monday, because it's Martin Luther King Day, so the next lecture is a week today. I will post on the MPAC homepage a link to information about this class. And so if you can, and the MPAC homepage is http://www.mpac.syr.edu. If you have the foil set, it's just the first part of that link I put on the first foil, but I'll put it on the, I'll put the link to this class on the homepage. So somewhere on the homepage you'll say, go here if you want to find out about this class. And then I'll post on the web whatever information I discover based on this survey, which will tell you a little more detail about what we're doing. And so I guess if anybody wants to ask questions, like any questions that you think everybody would like to know the answer to? Yes. Textbook. All right, so the question is, are there any textbooks? Well, there are lots of textbooks. However, it is not obvious that you need, it depends really on your knowledge. So I can recommend good textbooks in each area. However, the one advantage of this field is that the amount of information on the web is so great that you can use the web for an awful lot of what you would normally get out of textbooks. And so we can prepare for you a list of possible textbooks on general web, Java, JavaScript, what have you. But it is not obviously, you probably do want a good, if you do want to buy probably one good book on Java, and we will recommend some books. When we come to the specific technologies, we will recommend books. However, yes, so that's, but it is not, I don't think there's any one essential book. The one thing that's probably you do need is a book on Java, because Java is such a core technology. It also is better defined than most other technologies. Databases, we have all the material online. We have all the definition of SQL and how to use the web database linkage. So you do not need a book for that. So the surveys are now... Sorry? Well, I would not recommend the books on JavaScript. They're not very good. The reason is the people who write the books on... one trouble with books in this field, I pointed out PC software is the best. Unfortunately, it means that all the books are written for the broad audience. So they sort of assume you're dummies. And so that's not true of all the Java books. Some of those are quite deep. But the JavaScript books tend to be very superficial. And a lot of them are just reprints of basic information defining the language, which is better available on the web, because on the web you can actually click on things and go through several pages fast. So I do not believe it is necessary to get a book on JavaScript. So I would recommend a book on Perl, and a book on Java. Don't think anything else is critical. Has everybody got a survey? So if you want to fill it in now, we can collect it. That's probably the easiest. Other than that, my room, as on those foils, is 3-131, the third floor of this building. So if you want to think about it, maybe if you could hand it in by midday tomorrow. Thank you.
In that class?
I'm not enrolled, but I just want to